In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing volume 14, 9/9/1922. Jesus said, I, God, wanted to descend from heaven, taking on a humanity similar to the first man, Adam. Image and likeness. And in this image and likeness, I, God, enclosed all of creation. I bound the human will of this holy humanity of Jesus to the divine will, so that this human will, embracing all creation and all of their acts, might bring it to my divine throne in this divine will as triumph of all human acts, changed into acts of divine will. So here, Jesus, see, this shows us Jesus is doing this. And Jesus wants to do this with us. He knows that the human will is full of misery, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Sorry. And he wants to stop this. He says, this is not how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to have God reigning in us, doing what God wants to do in us. And therefore, this is what he says. With this, the human will took possession of the divine will. So Jesus says, because of his holy humanity, the human will that he never did now took possession of the divine will and the divine will of the human will. So he says, one lording over the other, God reigning. In fact, when one being forms one single thing with another being, if one is Lord, Jesus, the other two becomes Lord as though naturally. So Jesus is the King of Kings. And what he does is he gives this king, this queenship to the children. This had been the only reason for which I, God, commanded Adam to abstain from the fruit prohibited by me. Because he wanted to be the Lord. And he says, if Adam would have done this, Adam would have been the Lord. He would have been the true son of God, the true image and likeness of God. He wouldn't become God, but he would be in God's image and likeness. I, Jesus, wanted an act of sacrifice of his human will in mine. So Jesus says, when I came to earth, I never did my human will. So by this sacrifice of Jesus, binding Jesus' human will within mine, Adam's human will within mine, he might take possession of my divine will and I of his human will, and both might reign with the same divine power, same divine wisdom, same divine goodness. This is what's coming back to man. This is what sanctification is all about. This is why we're now entering into the third fiat, this time of sanctification. Now my divine will, my divine love wants to produce again. And while it gives to excess, it goes out taking a break. It wants to deliver new births. So he says, after these 2,000 years of now redeeming mankind, he says, now I want to bring about new births. And just as it did in my holy humanity, enclosing all creation in it, so that it might give to the Father everything the Father wanted from mankind, make everything descend for the good of all mankind, past, present, and future. So now binding your free will with mine. So Jesus now says, Louisa, you are the firstborn. My mother has already done this. She says, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. The Immaculate Conception. Jesus says she's already done this. She is the mother of God, Theotokos. Now I need a human born of original sin to do this, to learn from Jesus and Mary how to live this abundant life. One with mine, he says. I, Jesus, want to enclose all of creation in you, Louisa. This is what God did with Adam. Adam lost it. Jesus and Mary come to earth to redeem. Are they to co-redeem with Christ? Now is the time for sanctification. Why? I, God, want to enclose all creation in you, Louisa, making you, Louisa, take possession of my divine will. You are the firstborn, the newborn in the divine will. I haven't found anyone yet who has done this. Adam did it. Our Lady did it as Mother of God. Jesus did it as the Son of God. Now, Adam lost it. We got to find another human to give this to. We have chosen you, Louisa. He says, now I want to enclose all the creation in you, making you, Louisa, take possession of my divine will. I, God, want to feel my divine acts, my divine love, my divine pains being repeated in you, Louisa. Who is this Louisa Picaretta that Jesus is saying this to? How come we don't know about her? Everything that God loves, he keeps hidden. Bethlehem, a few wise men, a couple shepherds showed up. That was it. No religious, no priests, just a few. He kept it secret. Mary, Theotokos, hidden. Even Christians today don't love Mary. It's hidden. It's a treasure to God. The Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament. It's hidden. He is present in every church. The little candle next to the tabernacle tells us Jesus is there. The churches are empty. It's hidden. The Vicar of Christ on earth. What did Jesus say to Peter? Upon this rock I will build my church, and I give you the keys to the kingdom, and the gates of hell will not prevail. It's hidden. Now he gives us the gift of gifts to a little newborn, Louisa. Nobody knows her. I still can't figure out who she is. She's so beautiful. She's so little. She's so insignificant. Yet she is the true daughter of Jesus, the true daughter of Mary. I mean, we all consecrate ourselves to be true sons and daughters of Jesus, sons and daughters of Mary. Now we have the newborn, Louisa, the firstborn. Volume 14, 11, 24, 19, 22. See then how many goods I, God, have done to you in looking at you so many times and keeping you, Louisa, with me in intimate conversations. They have not been just words, but complete discourses. This is what we find when we read. We enter into this conversation that Jesus is having. And he expands our capacity to understand what he's saying. And each and every one of us gets different glimpses because of our uniqueness. He says one thing, but each of us sees something different. It's very simple. Even today, when you say, give me the color, you know, give me a color. Some say red, some say blue, some say, all right, now if everybody said red, he says, give me an object. Everybody thinks of something different. Even if it's the same thing, it's from a different perspective. God loves our uniqueness because he wants to be Lord of that so that we, one with God, can continue creation. We haven't seen anything yet, nothing yet. This is just amazing. So he says, from this you can comprehend that the unions between you and me, the relations, the bonds, the closenesses are innumerable. Volume 15, 12, 1, 19, 22. True reigning is virtue, the stripping of everything. We have to be freed of everything that is human. To sacrifice oneself for everyone. And this is what we do when we pray every morning, the prevenient act. To substitute oneself to everyone. This is true reigning, and it binds everyone. It makes one loved by everyone. Therefore, my kingdom shall have no end, while yours is near to perishing. Again, this was 1922. She died in 1947. Volume 15, 12, 8, 1922. But do you know what was the first act that Our Lady, the celestial creature, did when she found herself before our throne for the first time? Our Lady recognized that all the evil of mankind had been the split between his human will and that of God's most holy divine will. Our Lady trembled with no delay, and she bound her human will to the foot of my throne. This is what we learn from Our Lady when we do the six steps. Every day after Holy Communion, we go through those six steps. of surrendering our human will, dying to our human will. She bound her human will to the foot of my throne without ever wanting to know it. And my divine will bound itself to her, Our Lady, and constituted itself the center of the Blessed Mother's life. So much so that all currents, all relations, all communications opened between the Blessed Mother and the Triune God. And there was no secret that we, Triune God, did not entrust to the Blessed Mother. This indeed was the most beautiful, was the greatest, was the most heroic act that Our Lady did, and that was to lay down her human will at our feet in an act that made us, Triune God, as though enraptured and constituted the Blessed Mother Queen of all. Do you see then what it means to bind myself to oneself to my divine will and to not know one's own human will? Even the saints did the human will, because they didn't know how to live in the divine will. And so what happens? A lot of saints, you know, have said, you know, that basically they have gone to purgatory for a while because to be purged of their human will. See, everything in our holy humanity, everything in the holy humanity of Jesus, we must possess. What we don't have of the holy humanity of Jesus has to be purged from us. What's that? Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That has to be purged from us. Doubting. We have to, if that is not purged from us in this life, we have to go to purgatory to be purged of everything that is not of the holy humanity of Christ. So Jesus is looking at us and he says, I'm going to give you the way and the how this can be done, by eliminating everything from you. And that's what God does. That's the beauty. He eliminates everything from us until the last moment when he eliminates our heartbeat and our breath. He says, I want everything from you. Why? So I can divinize you. That's what the priest prays at Mass every day, putting the drop of water. May we share in the divinity of Christ. Read 2 Peter. It's all about being divinized. The second act was Our Lady offered herself to any sacrifice for love of the Triune God. The third was to render us, Triune God, the honor and the glory of the whole of creation that Adam had taken away from us by doing his own human will. And even from the maternal womb, Our Lady cried for the love of the Triune God in seeing that the Triune God was offended. And Our Lady cried with sorrow over guilty man. Oh, how these innocent tears moved us, Triune God, and hastened the longed for redemption. This queen, the Blessed Mother, dominated us, bound us, and snatched infinite graces from us, Triune God. See, to have the true life of Mary and the true life of Jesus is to begin to live this life that they gave to Louisa. Volume 15, 3, 18, 19, 23, my daughter, do not fear. Don't worry. Don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. Nothing is over between you and me. Your Jesus is always your Jesus for you. The strongest thing that binds the soul is to dissolve her free will in mine. It's to say, I want your divine will. I'm not going to do my human will, but with my free will, I want to dive into this infinite ocean and never, ever be separated from you. How can I leave you, Louisa? Jesus says to Louisa. And besides, if I've spoken to you so much about my divine will, those are many bonds of indissoluble union that I, God, have placed between you and me. Jesus is doing the same with us as he speaks to us. And it's speaking to you, my eternal volition bound your little human will with the bonds of my eternal will. For as many words that Jesus has spoken to Louisa, for as many words as you have read from the book of heaven that Louisa wrote down. Everything goes hand in hand here. I have waited for so many centuries, many generations have gone by, and I shall still wait, but mankind must return back to me. on the wings of my divine will, from which it came. Therefore, you, Louisa, be the first to be welcomed, and let my words be a spur for you to take possession of this great gift of the divine will, as well as things that bind you so tightly as to never let you go out of my divine will, ever. So somebody has their phone on, it's echoing here, so you got to turn your phone off. Volume 15, somebody's speaking, they must be in the hospital. Volume 15, 4-2-1923. As I was in my usual state, my always lovable Jesus made himself seen all lovable and majestic, as though enraptured with a net of light. See, this is, we're going to see Jesus in a way that we've never seen him before. This light he set forth from his eyes, light he unleashed from his mouth. In each of his words, each of his heartbeats, each of his movements of his steps, this divine light was emanating from Jesus. And in some, his holy humanity was an abyss of light. And Jesus, looking at me, bound me with this light that emanates from Jesus. That's what he's doing with us as we read. And he tells me, since I contain within me the immense ocean, the sea of light of my divine will, it is no wonder that as I look, as God looks, as I speak, as Jesus speaks, as I move, so much light comes out from me as to be able to give light to everyone. Jesus said this. The saints talked about my heart, the flames of love for my sacred heart. He shows like the divine mercy. There's two rays of light coming from his heart. He says, in the era, in the new era, we are going to see 360 degrees of light emanating from his heart. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything of how beautiful our God is. Things that are coming are going to just so enamor us. We're going to be in ecstasy just seeing our God. And he's asking us to trust in him, to believe in him. He says this very, very clearly. Therefore, I, God, want to chain you. I, God, want to overwhelm you within this divine light in order to sow in you, Louisa, and now the little children of the Holy Divine Will, as many seeds of the resurrection for as many acts that you keep doing in my most holy divine will. It alone makes the soul and body rise again to divine glory. He says, I rose from the dead so that you will rise from the dead of the human will. Before you die, I want you to rise up. John Paul II said this. We are a resurrected people. We're an Alleluia people. We are an Easter people. We rise up with Jesus. Now, this is what he's saying. It is a seed of a resurrection to grace. It is a seed of resurrection to the highest and perfect sanctity. It is the seed of the resurrection to glory. We haven't seen anything yet. So as the soul admits her acts in my most holy divine will, she keeps binding a new divine light. This is what's emanating from us as we read. And Jesus says, when the demons see this, they flee. Why? It's the true light of Jesus. It's the true light of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve that they gave to Louisa. And it's emanating from God to us who are reading, who want this. Jesus says, if you want this, I take you at your word and I give this gift to you. It's the beginning of a whole new life. Because my divine will is light by nature, and one who lives in the divine will has the virtue of transmuting thoughts, words, works, everything she does into divine light. This, what's coming is so magnificent. Volume 15, 4-25-1923. I, God, want nothing else from you, Louisa, and the little children of the Holy Divine Will, but to come into our divine will to continue on from when Adam sinned. When Adam left this, I want you to continue where Adam stopped. What this is, and this is why we repair and redo, When Adam sinned, we lost. We were kicked out of paradise. God did not want us to eat of the tree of knowledge. I mean, excuse me, the tree of life. So we're in this space for 4,000 years. Then Jesus and Mary come to earth. What does Jesus do? He gives us the bread of life to feed us. This is a medicine, Jesus says, the sacraments and the sacramentals. Okay, and then we continue to sin, even though we've been redeemed. Now Jesus says, when you, Louisa, and the little children, you're going to repair all of this to where Adam sinned, all of this negativity, if you want to say, emptiness, this void, and it's going to look as if Adam didn't sin. This is the humiliation that Lucifer is going to suffer. All that he did didn't amount to anything. God wins. Everything's going to be repaired. Everything's going to be redone. He says this, I want nothing else from you but to come into our divine will and from where Adam left to be able to bind in you all the harmonies that he broke. And just as the first creature, Adam, because Adam was created by us as the head of the whole human family, by withdrawing from him his holy divine will, brought unhappiness to all his children. In the same way as you, Louisa, listen to this, as you, Louisa, come to continue from where he, Adam, fell, where he left, we, Triune God, constitute you, Louisa, the head of all. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? And therefore, the bearer of divine happiness and divine goods that has been assigned to all, had they lived in our volition, as if nothing ever was separated from God. Everything begins again. What God wanted from Adam begins again. This is now, we're not talking about goodness and holiness and sanctity. We're talking about sharing in divinity. This great gift of the divine will is for this time now. Why? The time of Lucifer is over. The 100 years is over. Now it's God's turn. And God is going to magnify what he has planned. And he's doing it through Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa, who read and study and put into practice these truths. And she says, Jesus, how can this be possible? That's our question. How can this happen? If not, when you yourself came upon earth, you redeemed us and you suffered so many pains, was the happiness acquired that the first man lost for himself and all? How can it be now that by binding myself and ourselves to your eternal will, we may give back this lost happiness? How can this happen? How can sanctification now happen? And Jesus, my daughter, all times are in my hands. And I, God, give to whomever I, God, want. And I, God, use whomever I, God, want. I myself could very well bring upon the earth the happiness that my divine will contains. But I found no human will that wanted to live the perennial life in mine, to retie the bonds of creation, to give back to me all the acts of the first man, Adam, as if he had done them all with the seal of my supreme will, and therefore to place the lost happiness back in field. Yes, it is true. I had my dear mother, Mary, but she had to cooperate with me for redemption. And now he says to Louisa, you're going to cooperate with me for sanctification. I have to give this back to a human born of original sin. My mother wasn't born of original sin. She's the Immaculate Conception. I was conceived in her. All mankind was conceived in the Blessed Mother with me, Jesus says. And now he says, a new beginning for mankind is happening because of a human, Louisa. Volume 15, 1923. See then how all goods of mankind find again their connection, the tight bond, and of the let us make man in our image and likeness, the validity of each of his acts, the restitution of the lost goods, as well as the signature and the assurance of, that his lost happiness, both terrestrial and celestial, is now given back to mankind. Therefore, it is so necessary that my divine will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that I had, Jesus says, no other interest, nor did I teach any other prayer but the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth in us, this dust, as it is in heaven. Remember, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. Everything's going to begin in a way that's going to make the evil one hide in the pit of hell for all eternity with his tail between his legs. Vine 15:5-8, 1923. Your beginning is God. See, this is what Jesus is saying to the little children of the divine will. Begin to understand. Your beginning is God. You must reach the point of eternity when the Eternal One created Adam. In order to receive all the bonds of creation and to retie, this is what Louisa has done, and Jesus is asking us to do this with Louisa, retie all the harmonies that can exist between God and man, between the creator and the creature. My divine will alone can place in safety and keep with jealousy all the goods that I, God, want to give to mankind, to the creature. Outside of my divine will, my goods are always in danger and poorly kept. While in the divine will, I, God, abound, and I, God, give to one what I should give to everyone. This is what he did with Louisa. Therefore, I, God, want to bind all creation in you, Louisa, and the little children of the holy divine will. I, God, want to place in you, Louisa, the original point of the creation of Adam. Image and likeness. Do you see what God is doing? Vine 15:6-28, 1923. I was thinking of the immense love of my sweet, most sweet Jesus, and Jesus let me see all creatures as those bound inside a net of love. And Jesus said to me, my daughter, in creating Adam, I, God, cast into him many seeds of divine love, in his intelligence, in his eyes, in his words, in his heart, in his hands, in his feet, in everything. I, God, placed the seed of love. And I was to work from it from outside. Together with me, I placed all created things in order to make this seed, this I love you, sprout and grow according to my divine will. And that's why we're going back to this divine I love you. We're going to live in this infinite ocean of love, never to leave ever again. This is what God wants. Everybody who's focused on the things of the earth, they're going to be sadly, I mean, they're going to be very sad. Jesus is saying to us, let go of everything so you can enter into my life. Because that's what's coming. The kingdom is coming. If your pockets are full of the earth, full of things of the earth, your desires are filled with the things of this earth, you're going to be too heavy to get on to that train that's coming to take us. You're going to be too heavy, too loaded down. You'll have to go to purgatory to be purged of it, to be freed of it. None of that's going to heaven. The things of the earth are not for heaven. The things of the earth for the earth. Jesus is saying, I want to free you of this. It's so great what our God is doing. Okay, so he says, now you must know. Okay, this is a command from Jesus. You must know this, that a simple creature broke the relations that exist between the divine will and mankind, Adam. This split destroyed the plans that the divinity had in the creation of Adam. Now, another simple creature, although endowed with many graces and privileges, but still a mere creature, the Virgin Mary, queen of all mankind, queen of heaven and earth, was given the office to repair. Given the office to bind again, to cement, to place herself in relationship with the will of her creator in order to repair the first split of that first creature, a woman, Eve. The first, a woman, Mary, a second. She was precisely the one by binding her human will to ours, gave back to us the honor, the decorum, the subjection, the rights of creation. It was not one creature alone that received the beginnings of evil and formed the seed and ruin of all human generations. Had I not found a creature who had my divine will as life, who placed herself in relationship with me, with those bonds of creation wanted by me, God, I would not have wanted, nor have I been able to descend from heaven to take on human flesh in order to save mankind. You see what Jesus is saying? So my mother was the beginning. My mother was the origin. My mother was the seed of the Fia Voluntas Tua on earth as it is in heaven. So what we're seeing here is Eve, the first, a woman. Mary, the second, a woman. It was precisely who brought redemption because of her fiat mihi. Now, Jesus says to Louisa, I give this to my little daughter as Adam's offspring, Eve, that came from his side, as we were born from the side, the church was born from the side of Jesus. As Eve came from the side of Adam, his offspring took this gift, basically, away from Adam. Adam fell and obeyed Eve rather than obeying God. He said, so Jesus says, I, as the new Adam, from my side, if you want to say, you, Louisa, my daughter, I give you back this gift. Why? To give back to the man. That's the whole, that who is the man? It's the Pope. It's the Vicar of Christ. That's why there's such things going on in the Vatican over a number of years. I mean, going way back. When you look at Leo the 13th, look at Pius the 10th, St. Pius the 10th. Look at all these great, great, great pontiffs. The fight began because the devil knows this was given to Louisa. He can't stop Louisa, but he can stop a human with a human will. So what does he do? It's what we're going through, all the difficulties that we're going through today. It's we have to understand the keys to the kingdom were given to the Vicar of Christ. Jesus says to Louisa, you must be the key. What key? The key that the Pope will use to open the door of heaven. And then there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Everyone will be Catholic. Everyone will have this universal life that Adam lost, this Catholic life that Adam lost. That's why Jesus and Mary came to earth, to start the universal life again, the Catholic life again. This is why it's so important that we're faithful and obedient to Christ and his church. Since one creature had destroyed it, it was just that another creature would rebuild it. And my holy humanity, that never separated from my divinity, upon this seed of my own divine will that I found in my divine mother, form the great plan of the human will in the divine will. In my holy humanity, my human will united to the divine, there was no human act that I did not place in relation with the supreme will of God. He never did his human will, like Our Lady never did her human will. With the divine will, I was aware of all the acts of all human generations. With the human will, I kept repairing each and every one of them. And I, Jesus, bound them to the eternal will of God. Everything was repaired. There was not one act that could escape me. And it was not ordered by me in the most pure light of the supreme will. I could say that redemption cost me little. My external life, the pains of my passion, my examples, my word would have been sufficient. And I would have done it quickly. But in order to form the great plane of the human will in the divine will, to bind all relations and links that had been broken by Adam, I, God, had to place my whole interior my whole hidden life, all my pains, and that are far more numerous and more intense than my external pains and are not yet known. When we get to heaven, we're going to see a God who suffered, a God who died. Jesus yesterday, today, and forever, always the same. And we're going to see, like he says, things that are not yet known of what Jesus went through. It is enough to say that it was not just forgiveness that I impetrated, the remission of sins, the refuge, the escape, the defense in the great dangers of the life of mankind, as I did in my passion, but it was the new rising of the whole interior of mankind. That's why he says, when I rose from the dead, this resurrection is for us now, not after we die. He wants us to have this resurrected life now. How can this happen? Didn't the saints have enough? No. The saints showed us how to do the will of God. Now Jesus is showing us how to live in the will of God. The more we read the book of heaven, the happier we're going to be. The more we read the book of heaven, the more God is going to teach us this new and abundant way of living. But it was risen, it was the new rising of the whole interior of mankind. So therefore, I, God, had to make the Son of the Eternal rise, that by binding his whole interior with enrapturing power, even his most intimate fibers, see, this is divine healing, was to lead mankind back into the womb of my celestial Father, as though reborn in his eternal will. This rebirth is very, very important. When Jesus says you must be reborn, it's constant, constantly being reborn. Every new life is a more beautiful life than the last one. It's dying and coming to life. It's dying to your misery, dying to your worry, your fear, your anxiety, your complaints, your negativity, your sin. You don't want that anymore. You're dying to it. And then as you rise from that death, what happens? You're more peaceful. You're more joyful. You're more happy. You're more Catholic. Now, my daughter, if my eternal wisdom disposed that one celestial creature, the Blessed Mother, the holiest of everyone, would prepare the seed of my most holy divine will in which I, God, form the plane of the new rising of mankind in my supreme will now through you, Louisa, another creature, another woman. See, God it's a double whammy against the devil. You made evil fall. You made Eve fall. Wait till you see what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring the woman clothed with the sun, and I'm going to bring the newborn, the firstborn of my divine will. Watch what I'm going to do. Now through you, Louisa, another creature, by letting her enter into the eternal dwellings of my divine will, binding Louisa's human will to mine, uniting Louisa to all my acts, I, God, make Louisa whole interior rise again in the eternal sun of my divine will. Think of the book that the Vatican just wrote. The sun of my divine will is Louisa Picaretta. The Vatican produced this, operating the feel of this plane to the human generation so that whoever wants this can enter into it and to place himself in relation with the will of God. This is where we are. This is glory. And God is saying to us, you can have it now. You can begin to live this life now if you wish. Or you can be miserable for until you drop dead, whatever you want. He's not going to interfere with our free will. And whatever we choose our human will, our misery, that's what we got. Until we die. And then we go to purgatory for a long time to be purged of that miserable human will of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. But if we enter into the divine will, little by little, he leads us, he guides us, he directs us how to live this life that he gave to Louisa. 5:16, 8:20, 19:23. The sanctity of living in my divine will is more than sun. A soul who is upright and fully ordered in my divine will is more than an army in battle. Her intelligence is ordered and bound to the eternal intelligence of God. You begin to think with the mind of Christ. Her heartbeats, affections, desires are all ordered with eternal bonds to God, as we were supposed to live when before Adam fell. Therefore, her thoughts, her human will, and the whole of her interior are armies of messengers that come from her and fill both heaven and earth, and they are speaking voices. They are weapons that defend everyone, past, present, and future. First of all, they defend their God. God receives the glory that he, as God, so rightly deserves. He deserves all praise, all honor, all glory, because he's God. When we see God, we're going to fall on our faces adoring him. He's so beautiful. He's so perfect. He's so loving. We will not be able to stand in his presence. And so Jesus is saying, the first thing is the honor to God, the glory to God that mankind was created to give to God. God goes into ecstasy when he sees a child living in the divine will. Why? Finally, there's someone who's living the life that Adam lost. Little. But it's going to become great over time. They bring good to everyone. They are the true and celestial divine militia that the Supreme Majesty keeps all ordered within itself, ever ready and all at its commands. We are going to participate as true royalty in the kingdom. We're going to be clothed in divinity in the kingdom. And Jesus is saying, I want you to get ready for this, but I don't want you to wait until you're dead. Do this now while you're living, Jesus says. And then there's the example of my mama, Mary, true sanctity of living in my divine will, her interior all eclipsed in the eternal Son of the Supreme Volition, she, with all of her interior ordered in the divine will, would give no time to time. That's what she said to Bruno in 1947, the approved apparition of Our Lady of Revelation. She says, time has now come to an end. Jesus is reflecting this in 1923 of what Our Lady is doing. There's no more time. We're now going to enter into eternity. She says, where all my children belong. The evil one and his group are going to be trapped in time for all eternity, where my children, she says, are going to be in the beatific vision in the eternity of God. And Jesus says, I want you to begin to live this now, not after you die. May your kingdom come on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. Whether she would think, palpitate, breathe, anything she would do, these were all charming bonds in order to what? To draw the eternal word upon earth. In fact, Our Lady won and performed the greatest miracle that no one else can do. And then Jesus says this to Louisa and to the little children of the Holy Divine Will. This is your task, my daughter. This is what he gave to Louisa. And if we're linked to Louisa, it's our task as well. To charm me, to bind me, so much with your interior, all reordered in the Supreme Volition, as to transport it from heaven to earth, that it may be known and have life on earth exactly the way it has in heaven. That's what he says. This is your task. Why are you alive today? Why are you Catholic today? Your task, to charm me, to bind me so much with your interior, to reorder in the Supreme Volition as to transport it from heaven to earth, that it may be known. By whom? By us. Your family doesn't want it. Your neighbors don't want it. Your co-workers don't want it. But he wants you in the midst of creatures. He wants the divine will in the midst of creatures. You are the yeast that brings leaven to everybody else. He says everyone else is flour. The little children of the Holy Divine Will are the yeast. Why? He says that it may be known and have life on earth exactly the way it has in heaven. This is the saints. Can you imagine if the saints were alive? They would love to read this. They would have fought with each other to read this. Why? It's the kingdom of God on earth, in the souls, as it is in heaven. It's to go back to where Adam was before the fall. To live in God's image and likeness. This is what God has planned. And this is why we're alive today. So we'll end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, that we all become divinely healed. And we ask that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, and have a blessed Christmas and a happy new year. Good things are coming. It's going to be glorious.